just so you know. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 tonight, verse number 28. Enjoyed the song. What a wonderful message there. As I mentioned, there's a lot of people who are saying America's never been great and has been putting it down. But as I mentioned on Sunday night, I think America has been exceptional for many, many years. And all the things it's done is unlike any other nation that's ever been in existence. And God's given us a chance and opportunity here. It is unlike any other place to where we can have religious freedom and spiritual, praying for spiritual awakenings, praying for revival. And God gave us that opportunity to live in a country to where we can freely serve him and worship him. Okay, so the title of tonight's message is Ruling Your Own Spirit. Ruling Your Own Spirit. And you say, what does that mean? I think it has a lot to do with self-control. Not only emotionally, but also physically. And in Proverbs chapter 25, you look at the verse. We're going to look at just one verse. There's going to be a lot of verses that go into the message. But Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28, the word of God said, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." I love many times the imagery that's found in the Bible. And it just kind of, if you can put in your, what they call sanctified imagination, and picture what he's trying to say here. That there's a person that cannot control or rule their own spirit. Now, the spirit they're talking about here is the emotional side that's here. It's talking about the feelings that people have, which also has to deal with how we react and how we do things in a self-disciplined type way. And they're saying if you're not able to handle your own spirit, everybody likes to handle everybody else's spirit. If you're not able to handle your own self-control, this is the picture you're going to be. And it says, it is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's a couple things. This picture here, I think, is intriguing. A city that is broken down and without walls, there's a lot of things wrong with it. First, it's open to attack. It's vulnerable to the enemy. And what the Bible is saying here is if you cannot have self-control and cannot handle your own spirit, what you're going to do is you're going to leave yourself wide open. I mean, wide open for the devil, wide open for the enemy. I've seen people play and toy with other people's emotions. Sickening to watch happen, but you see what's going on today. You see people that are acting with no type of self-control in the world we live in today. We were in our, I don't know what you call our Sunday school class. Maybe we should get a name for it. That young adult type class setting that we were in. We were talking about imagining the consequences. If you don't do this, this, or this. And everybody in the room right now has kids. And I said, if you did not discipline your kids or never corrected your kids or never try to teach them how to have discipline, what would they end up like? And I'm trying to get the point of the lesson is imagine what the sin's going to be like. And for the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And so, and one of the people raised their hand and says, it looked just like it looks today. Talking about the masses out there and the mobs that are out there that act like they have no self-control, never truly been taught how to have self-control or to rule your own spirit. So tonight I'd like to look at this and try to help understand that a city that is without, that is broken down and without walls, it's easily destroyed. In my mind, it's pretty much a city that is useless. Scriptures tells us that if we do not accept the responsibility for keeping our own spirit right, we become equally open to attack. I like the scripture that it talks about, and it's found later on about how if you love the law, that nothing will offend you. And it talks about in the scripture, Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And there's a lot of things out there in the world today that's offending people after people, and it just seems like they don't have any type of discipline or self-control. And that's what the scripture is painting this picture. Matthew Henry put it this way, all that is good goes out. In a city that has no walls, and a city that is broken down, all that is good goes out and forsakes him. All that is evil is upon him. He lies exposed to all temptations of Satan and becomes an easy prey to that enemy. He is also liable to many troubles and vexations. It is likewise as much as a reproach to him as it is to the city to have its walls ruined. And here in the scripture, I think what the Bible is telling us is, look, you need to have some type of ruling over your own self, ruling over your own spirit. Self-control. There's a Bible word for self-control, and it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Anybody know what it is? Temperance. That's right. Temperance. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And here's the word, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I'm talking about here tonight, and we're taking this picture that you have of a city that is broken down without walls, and seeing how it's open to all attack, open to have their chains yanked around, open to have Christians and believers that acting very unruly and unacceptable because of the fact they do not know how to control their own emotions and control their own physical bodies. Temperance means self-control or discretion. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 22 says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. And it's saying here, look, you know, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Have it near you. So that shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy... Discretion is something it seems like it's missing so much today. And being able to discern how we should react, being able to discern how to take correction, being able to discern how to take someone who is trying to influence you and someone who is trying to manipulate you and someone, there is so much lack of discretion is because there's not much emotional self-control today. And I think it's a challenge because many problems in our life are related to a lack of temperance. People feel like their lives are out of control. They feel like pressures and circumstances seem insurmountable and overwhelming. And what's the key there? They are, if you're not depending on God. If you're not trusting in the Lord, guess what? Circumstances will be insurmountable. Circumstances will be overwhelming. And even those who seem like they got it all wrapped up in the right package, many times they indulge in an escapist type mentality. They have depressive type thoughts that often rule over them. And the indications that their life is out of control because when something bad happens, it sends them in a tailspin. But the scripture says that a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And it's interesting when it says fruit, what does that mean? It's just one. And so what the scripture is saying is, hey, I'm going to pick the love, I'm going to pick the joy, I'm going to pick the peace, but I'm not going to have any temperance. You're not picking anything. It's what the Holy Spirit in you is working out of you. So if you're saying, I can't have any self-control, then you're saying, hey, I can't have love, I can't have joy, I can't have peace, I can't have long-suffering, I can't be any of those other things because I'm not willing to let the Holy Spirit have the control over my life. So the scripture says, faith, meekness, all those things, it's not something we create. Now, yes, we might be better at some of them than others. I think of all those different ones. I'm trying to think something that I'm good at, and I don't know if I'm really good at any of them, but maybe the peace one, you know. I try not to let things bother me too much. But it's not me. It's not picking, choosing. Look, I'm good here. I'm good here. And so what you see here, when you see a Christian or unbeliever react in the wrong way, means they're not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm saved, I'm right with God, but I'm yelling at somebody right in their face. There's something wrong there. Because the scripture is saying here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's in you already. I don't know if there used to be a TV commercial. I don't watch commercials anymore, so it may date me a little bit. But there used to be a TV commercial out there talking about a spaghetti sauce. And they were there, and they were stirring, and they said, smells like tomatoes, onions, and they keep on saying, yeah, it's in there, it's in there, it's in there. And the thing is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, whatever all those other ones are, temperance, you know, it's in us. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that brings this out of us. So when it's saying here in the scriptures, it's that it's like a city that is broken down without walls. You know what it's saying here is like, that you're laying yourself wide open to the devil because the Holy Spirit's not in control. The Holy Spirit is one that is able to rule your own spirit. There's plenty of self-help classes. There's plenty of support groups. There's plenty of different types of religion. But what they don't understand is that temperance actually comes from the Holy Spirit of God. We need God's help for self-control. And I hear people say things that just makes me kind of like, come on, you can do better than that. I hear people say things like, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. That is not a godly answer to anything. I'm sorry. or sort of like saying, I hear other people using the frames, mama bear, you know, they're going to come out and they're going to attack people. They attack their kids. You know, I understand controlling your kids and being respectful for your kids, but there is truth that's here. There's a way to react to things. And men, and the way that they many times will react to things just as much, I know we use mama bear and mama's not happy, same thing. If daddy's not happy, nobody's, it's ridiculous. It's ungodly. It's not found in the scriptures. And when you say things like that, it's not saying, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to not be able to control me. If somebody does this to my kid, they're not. The Holy Spirit is not going to be able, I'm going to lose it all. You're missing it. What you're doing is you're putting yourself as a city that is without walls, that's broken down, and you have increased. What you've done is you've given the devil a spot to say, that's where I can get him at. If their kids is the one that they're going to protect, if their kids are the ones they're going to hover over, and they're going to, and yes, you're supposed to raise your children and nurture and admonish the Lord. Yes, you're supposed to do all these things, but if the devil knows you have this little area, they better not mess. And I'm going to lose my Christianity. What you're doing is you're a city that's broken down without walls. They see where you struggle at, and the devil wants to attack there. I mean, devil's been doing it for how many years? 6,000 years, right? If not more, a little bit more. Don't worry, I'm not saying billions and billions of years. But, it's over 6,000 years he's been doing it. So he's not going to sit there, and he doesn't play fair. If he knows something bothers you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to stick that knife in there, and he's going to turn it around because he knows you have no self-control there. At that portion in your life, you're like a city that's broken down without walls. He's going to let what bothers you bother you, and he's going to let you react because you're lacking the self-control that only God can give you. So the first thing I want you to think about is a city that's broken down without walls. The second thing is ruling your own spirit. The third thing, things that affect our spirits. Things that affect our spirits. The fact of life is Scripture tells us man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. We're going to be in trouble. There's going to be problems. Think about it, flat tires. I don't think anybody likes it, flat tires. Bad weather. Financial problems. A broken heater, air conditioner. All these things can affect our spirit. Now think about, now let's drop in what's going on today. Virus stuff, mobs, inconsiderate people. People on Facebook trying to post things just to get a reaction. I used to think that teenagers had a lot of drama. Then I joined Facebook, and boy, that is just filled with drama. There are people that argue, and they get into things just to argue, and it's silly because people are baiting them, and they're just jumping right in there. It's the things that affect people. There are going to be problems. But not only then, consider some of the people that are in our life. Think about our enemies. Not just the devil, but think about those who do not care about us. They do not care about God, do not care about our country. They're going to do what they can to try to get you to act like you do not have control over your spirit. And you don't. It's God that does that. It's God that strengthens you. And if you have an issue with anger issues, if you have an issue with reacting or flying off the handle or saying different things, then obviously, you know, God can help us with that. And we're going to get to that in a little while. Enemies. If we dwell on the criticism of the enemy, it's going to ruin your joy. If I focus on the negative things people said to me, I wouldn't be standing here. And I don't think you would be here either if you focus only on the enemies. And we got to focus on truth, but don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. Don't let the enemy ruin you from your day. Sometimes, like I said, when I read some newspaper articles and I read things that people are saying, it annoys me, but I can't let it rob me of my joy. I can't just turn around, act like I have no self-control and turn around and enter some type of chat room and start ranting and raving because that ain't going to help anything. What I need to do is get on my knees. I need to pray about it and ask God, you know, come, Lord, even come quickly, come more quickly, you know. Our enemies, our friends. Most of us can accept that from people that do not like us, that try to do different things, but when our friends hurt us, that's one of those things we say, I'm done. Never going to talk to them again. I'm through with it. I'm over it. You're like a wall, like a city. It's broken down without walls. That part of your life is wide open for the devil. And the devil's not going to say, oh, I know that's bothering them. I'm not going to hurt that. No, he's going to send as much as he can through that foothold and try to help hurt you. Families, same thing. It's hard when your enemies attack you. It's hard when your friends attack you. But when your families get into it, and sometimes families do this, it's a struggle. There are different things. There's physical things, such as the flat tires, the bad weather. There's people that are being used by the devil, the inconsiderate mobs, the things that are craziness that are going on. But then you have the enemies that you know of and your friends and your family. How will you react? Because when you have an attitude, don't have self-control, the devil gets in there and he starts turning it and it hurts more and more. You become a city that's broken down without walls. What good's a city that can't protect itself? What good is a city when all the good leaves and the only thing that's left is the evil that's coming? Next thing. If we don't control our spirit, how will it affect us? And I know these aren't really all, the first one's about the city, the next one, it's talking about the things that affect our spirit and how to rule our own spirits. But if we don't control our own spirits, how will it affect us? First thing, it can affect your perception. If you have the wrong attitude, have you ever met somebody who's negative all the time? I know a few people like that. And I'm not picking on anybody, but I know a few people just have a negative attitude. Their perception is off. Because of their unhappiness that's within them, many times they will see everything in a negative light, a negative vein. I remember reading a story that a preacher wrote about. He said, I'm told that there was a drunk one time that passed out on a sidewalk. And a prankster decided to rub Limburger cheese into his thick mustache. When he woke up, he took a few breaths, he wrinkled up his nose and disgusted and said, boy, it stinks here. It smells like Limburger cheese. So he went out of the park so it wouldn't smell so much. To his surprise, when he got out of the park, it still smelled. And later on, he says, I'm going to go out to the country. It's terrible. It smells here too. The whole world smells like Limburger cheese. And here's the illustration that I thought was interesting. His perception was that everything was bad, but the trouble was right under his nose. Now, likewise, those who allow their spirit to become damaged perceive that there is something wrong with everybody and everything when the trouble was right under their nose, when they are really the problem. That's why I always tell people, even my own life, when something bad happens, the first thing I do, I look inside. What could I have done different? Criticism is something that you should not let rob you of your joy, but it's like bubble gum. You chew on it for a little while and you spit it out once you get the flavor, once you learn from it. Not only does it affect your perception, but if it affects your perception, it's going to affect your perspective. When you start looking at things in a negative light, and if you have a bad spirit, it's going to affect your perspective on life. When we have a bad spirit, we don't see things in perspective. All our troubles become maximized. All our blessings become minimized. Most of us have far more blessings in our life than we do burdens. Many of us have a good marriage. Many of us have sweet children, loving church members. We have provision, a house, things to eat, not to mention things such as eternal security, a wonderful Bible, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the opportunity to pray. And sometimes when we develop a bad spirit, we forget all the blessings. And there are people out there. If you have a negative attitude, it will affect your perception. As it affects your perception, it's going to affect your perspective, and then that's going to affect your potential. You're not going to be able to do anything for God as a city that's broken down and without walls. I want to help us understand as a church, it's important to be a person that has self-control. It's a person, and that's what the scripture is referring to here, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. We must continue to learn how to have self-control. A couple of different areas about this self-control I want you to think about. We need to be disciplined in our physical life. It's not just our discipline in three different areas, our physical life, our speech, and our thought life. Temperance is manifested by a disciplined physical life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Person who's filled with the Holy Spirit of God has the power to say no. There's a lot of people out there that do not have the power to say no to something. Sometimes it's alcohol. Sometimes it's pornography. Sometimes it's just the TV. Sometimes it's Facebook. Sometimes it's the internet. Sometimes it's a friendship. Sometimes it's the stock market. Sometimes you fill in the blank. But let the Holy Spirit or God fill in the blank. If we are a person that has temperance, we will have the ability to say no. A person who continues to say, I can't help that area, they're saying, I'm not willing to let the fruit of the Spirit come out, because it's in there. It's in you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Stories told about a man named Sandy McIntyre. I hope I'm saying his name right. He was during the days of the Northern Ontario's gold rush. He even has a famous mine after him. Just days after discovering the mine, the McIntyre sold his deed for $25 so he could buy liquor. It says that within just a short period of time, they found a vein that produced $230 million worth of gold. That guy would have became rich if he could have said no to the alcohol. Not only is it our physical life, and that's what I'm trying to say, it's not just physical things, because I've met people that are very disciplined in physical things, and they have the ability to say no, but also a disciplined speech, too. We should have self-control over physical. We should be able to say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to do that. I don't need alcohol. I don't need drugs. I don't need cigarettes. I do not need to have immoral relationships. This is God's body. I'm going to make sure, and there are people to do that. But what about our mouths? A disciplined speech. Temperance is manifested in a disciplined speech also. Lying. The Bible says we should put away lying. Foul language. Let no corrupt communication come out of the mouth. An insult. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Slander. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. Over and over, we should be able to have speech that is acceptable to God. And just because you say it doesn't make any better just because you type it. So be careful what you type. Be careful what you post. Because of the fact that so many times people will write things that they would never say. And it's a challenge. But that's where the self-control is. Because once again, if you don't have self-control here, what's going to happen? You're going to be a city that is broken down and without walls. You ever met somebody who just lets it fly, just says whatever comes to their mind, and just talks? And many times, I'm not even talking about dirty language, because foul language is very upsetting, obviously. But people who just rant, rave, gossip, all types of things. Self-control. It's for you, and you can help it. You can have disciplined thoughts. Temperance is also maintained by disciplined thoughts. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And what the Bible is saying there is we can actually have control over our thoughts. We can cast it down. We can't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit of God's help. When the anger comes, when the mockery comes, when all those different things, the Bible says you can cast that down. Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, anything different than what God would want you to do, you can get rid of it. You can bring it into captivity of Jesus Christ. So I don't know what you've been through today, but have you had self-control today? Have you been able to have a disciplined physical life, mouth, speech, and thought life today? Have you had victory? So here's a couple helpful steps for ruling your spirit. A couple things that I think might help you with ruling your spirit, and we'll be done. First one is be God-focused. Be God-focused. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We can be God-focused. We can be self-controlled. Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that is a wonderful verse. A lot of us get offended by a lot of things. Once again, we don't just put up with sin. We just don't swallow what's given to us. But at the same time, we know that God is in control and there is a proper way to respond to sin. Focus on what God can do. You think about it. If we focus on the goodness of God, he saved us, he sustained us, he's delivered us from so many different innumerable difficulties. He's provided for multiple needs in the past. He's been better to us than we ever deserved. If we focus on him and we focus on the goodness of God, it's going to be hard for us to be complaining and having a bad attitude. It's going to be hard for us not to have at least some type of self-control, because we want to live for him. not only to be God-focused, also know your weaknesses. I think this is important. Know what your weaknesses are. I said don't accept them. Don't say it can't get any better, but know your weaknesses. If you know you struggle with something, put it out there, learn some verses to help you combat and fight that. James 1, verses 14 through 16 puts it this way, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his, that doesn't get you ladies off, his or her own lust. So know what your weaknesses are. And don't let your moods manipulate you. Don't let moods manipulate you. I know nobody's moody. Nobody ever gets grumpy. Nobody ever gets unhappy. But don't let, because of the fact that things are not going your way, don't let it manipulate you. The Bible says, for the grace of God bringing salvation have appeared to all men. And it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Sometimes people want to have a pity party. Sometimes they want to feel sorry for it. Sometimes they just want to be moody. And the Bible's saying, here, look, live soberly, live righteously, live godly in this present world. Don't feel sorry for yourself. If something's going on, you need to get something right, someone's offended you, you offended somebody, deal with it. Talk with them. Be scriptural people. Have self-control. Don't let the moods just take you and make you feel depressed to where you have to turn to an alcohol or turn to some type of vice or turn to the wrong friend or turn to something else. You don't have to do that. You can have victory because you don't want to be a city that's broken down and without walls. You're not going to have the potential that God has for your life without having some self-control. Last but not least, actually two more. Believe God can make a change. Here's an important thing is that sometimes we get so affected by our sin, we don't think there's any difference that can be made. Believe that God can make a change in your life. What does it say in Romans 12, 2? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like the word transformed because you think of the transformation that happens. When I was a kid, they used to have something called transformers out. I know they still have them, I guess, today in the last years. But when I was a kid, they used to have that guy that used to be an 18-wheeler. He could transform into a robot and come back down. It's a little cartoon. And they would transform into something completely different. And what the scripture is saying here, you're not there yet. But he is transforming. This is a sanctification problem, transforming you. It's something that he is transforming you. It says renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Believe that God can make that change in your life to where you don't have to be angry. You don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. You can have self-control. And I hope in your life somewhere you've had some type of victory. Whether it's I got victory over alcohol, or I got victory over watching the wrong thing, or I got victory over cursing, or I got victory over smoking. And hopefully somewhere in your Christian life you've had a victory. You can go back and you point that God helped me with this. God can help you with this too. Self-control. Last but not least, choose some good friends for accountability partners. Choose some good friends for accountability partners. Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Find someone who's going to help you in your Christian life. They're not going to always be the person that agrees with you. You can find somebody to agree with you. You can find somebody to be sympathetic with you. You can find someone who's going to say your sin is okay. It's going to be a lot harder nowadays to find someone who's going to be godly and say, you know what, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. And I appreciate the people I have in my life to help encourage me. Do I like it? No. Do I like it when someone says, was that the right way to say that? No. Do I appreciate it later after thinking about it and praying about it? I do. Once again, find some godly friends that can be accountability partners. If you struggle with something, ask somebody to pray with you for it. Don't go gossiping around about your sin and don't glorify the devil. And don't glorify the sin that he has a foothold in your life. But at the same time, you could go to someone and say, hey, I'm looking for an accountability partner. I don't want to be doing this anymore. I struggle with this. Could I meet with you 10 minutes a week? And you'd ask me some tough questions. Because I know if I had to ask the questions, I don't want to be a liar. I want to tell the truth. And you help me and pray with me about this. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. All of us are humans. We have the tendency to become down and discouraged if we're not careful. Having the right friends with good spirits, right attitudes, and good hearts will do much to keep us on the right path and in the right attitude. Spend time with people who will lift your spirits, not those who are going to tear you down. Don't spend time with people who are trying to get you to do wrong. It's you're going to be that city that's broken down without walls. It's going to be the spot where the devil has that. Have self-control. There are some people in our life that we should not be close friends with because they're going to pull us away. They're not living godly. They're not doing the right things. They're not. So because of that, we got to be careful. Find some good friends. Be God-focused. Be out there and understanding your weaknesses. Have some good friends that can help you with this. So tonight, do you have self-control? Is there something in your heart, in your life, that we need to be more disciplined about? How about praying? Reading our Bibles? Memorizing scriptures? I'm not just talking about physical things. Because usually, many times, believers today in churches like ours, physical things we got down, only some of us do. Oh yeah, I look right on the outside. But they can go off and they can say things and they can act certain ways and have their nasty attitude and not even bother them. Not even think they're doing anything wrong because I'm dressed right. Because I go to the right church. Because I carry a really big Bible. Well, this Bible tonight's small. But if I carry a really, really big Bible. No. Self-control is not just outwardly. It's inwardly too. It's our emotions. And don't justify a wrong attitude. Don't always be negative. Instead, be in control of your own spirit. Because if you don't control your own spirit, if you don't rule your own spirit, you're going to be like that city. It's broken down, doesn't have walls, and it really isn't good for anything that's good. It's only used for things that are bad. Don't give the devil an easy place, an easy target. Let God work in your heart and life and become a person that has temperance. Remember, it's in you already. Let the Holy Spirit bring it out. You can control your emotions and your bodies. Let's pray.